from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Diners at Michelin-starred State Bird Provisions in San Francisco get to choose carefully crafted nibbles served off wooden dim sum-style carts. And we're joined now by chef owners Nicole Krasinski and Stuart Brioza to hear about their popular restaurant and debut eponymous cookbook, which includes the recipe for the restaurant's namesake dish, fried California quail with provisions. We're also going to hear, and this is particularly important in light of all the serious talk about tragedy in the last segment, about the recent work that they have done cooking and delivering thousands of meals to North Bay fire victims. And welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Well, great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, in the wake of talking about tragedy and everything, we thought it'd be, and want to get maybe a recipe or two coming up on Thanksgiving. It'd be good to talk about food and talk about your restaurant, which has had such enormous success. But let's talk first of all about the work you're doing up in North. And a number of restaurateurs have been involved in this, and kudos to you for that.
Yeah.
About 3,000 meals and counting?
Oh, much more than that. The final count within a two-week period was about 35,000 meals.
Oh, my goodness.
That was really produced from a number of restaurants, about 120 restaurants, plus just some rogue chefs and food producers that totaled up to well over 200 people that participated. Really, it was a communal effort, and that was the whole premise of putting together a very quick group called SF Fights Fire. And it was just a group of chefs, restaurateurs, food producers. There's a number of people, Sam from Byright, Tracy Desjardins from Jardiniere, to name a few, Ravi Kapoor from LiHo, Craig Stoll from Delfina, and just a great group of communications kind of experts at this point.
With some of the signature dishes?
Well, yeah. I think the idea was to try to produce just good-tasting food that provided nourishment and support, and to organize it in a way that was you could really kind of buy into as little as you could possibly support or as much as you're able to produce.
I think it's terrific. I hadn't even realized it was at that scale. I left out a digit in my head, one or the other, but congratulations for this. I mean, I think it's terrific because people need, nourishment, and they need particularly to get some consolation through dishes that are carefully and lovingly prepared. How did you get the food up there, though, and how did you organize it?
It was really a matter of just combating logistics, and there was some very key people involved that were drop-off points. So too many organizations got involved to really name out, but essentially every restaurant sort of produced food in quantities of 100. That would populate what was needed for the day or the next day. It was dropped off in a location kind of in the Presidio that was a holding area. Then it was sent up between certain hours.
To the Salvation Army in Sonoma, mainly. And then they would distribute it from there to different locations. Yeah. And the last meal was sent up on Saturday. So now the organization is furthering what we're doing through donations and different events throughout the holiday season. So there's definitely still ways to be involved, but the food portion at this point is on hold.
I think this is terrific. And they don't even have to wait for reservations.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, you're going to be joining me this weekend. Just want to put a plug in the National Kidney Foundation, since we're talking about good things, which does some extraordinary work. You'll be featured authors there, and it's a literary luncheon, and I'll be glad to be on the dais with you. I said something about signature dish. Yours is sort of the quail dish, isn't it?
Yeah, the state bird with provisions. Buttermilk fried quail, sweet and sour onions, and shaved Parmesan.
And a lot of these recipes are in this book, and I wanted to find out about some of these recipes. It was interesting, too, to find out about your backgrounds and fell in love with it. Cupertino?
Yeah.
Well,
College in a photo lab?
Is that right? That's right. We're studying art and photography, and we met when we were 19, 20 years old.
But you've become these culinary icons. did you know that then when you were studying photography?
Oh, no, not at all.
No idea.
Yeah. I think it's better that way.
Well, you tell your story in an interesting fashion. I mean, it goes from your narrative to Nicole's narrative and back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah, our author, J.J. Good, he is an amazing wordsmith and was really able to capture both of our voices in a very distinct way.
Well, what you do there is very distinct. I only had the privilege of eating there once, and it was quite a culinary experience, I must say. I mean, the food just keeps coming, and it's a lot of it pretty exotic and so forth. I don't need to promote your restaurant, but you know, the fact is, talk about promoting your restaurant, it all kind of took off, and you got on the map with Bon Appetit. You know?
Yeah, it really started off, you know, the restaurant was about 7-8 months old, and Bon Appetit had named us, you know, one of their top restaurant for 2012, which really took us by surprise.
Well, you took a lot of people by surprise. I mean, you kind of, I think the phrasing is you broke all the rules where restaurants were concerned. You're not supposed to go around with carts, for example, right?
Yeah,
people
kept
asking for menus.
Yeah, I think the first year we were consistent at explaining what we do and why we do it, and answering the common question is, why?
Well, people may have questions for you, and this is a segment where indeed we invite our listeners to join us. If you want to speak to the two brains behind State Bird Provisions, the chefs who dish up those recipes and who now have a debut cookbook, we invite you to join us. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786, and please feel free to call with any questions or comments. Talking about the great work they've been doing with other restaurateurs, also getting food up 35,000 and counting. Let's get that number right. Maybe it may go up during the day here to Sonoma and Napa. I'd like to hear from you and any thoughts you might have about that or any questions you might have for our guests. Our number again, 866-733-6786. There are other ways you can join us in this segment. You can join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going to our website, kqed.org/partner. They're partners. kqed.org/forum or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @kqedforum. What about dividing these chef duties, talking about you two being partners? I mean, you've got – and we'll talk maybe a little bit about some of these special fall recipes, get some people clued in about Thanksgiving things perhaps even. But how's it work?
Well, I'm the pastry chef, so I'm the sweet zone and all things that have to do with flour. And then Stuart just does everything else.
savory
chef and pastry chef. So it really works well.
Well, and it works well in so many ways because I want to talk about pastries just a bit with you, Nicole, but knowing for your combinations, Michael Bauer has commented this on many occasions, and some of them, I mean, you should forgive my phrasing, cook up yourself or...
you know, I think that the idea with, you know, as a chef in San Francisco specifically, I mean, the idea is to create food that is just right off the bat is delicious, but also has that thing that is that you wouldn't think of as a home cook or as something that's specific to the restaurant. So it's always got to have that one ingredient, that one element that takes you by surprise.
And give us an example.
Well, I think that one of my favorite dishes of unusual combinations is doing a lamb dish, a stir fry of lamb with squid and dates, which, you know, ultimately lamb and squid seem like it would be an unruly pairing, and then throwing dates in there. But there is like little connections that make sense, and spices like cumin will kind of be the bridge that pulls those flavors together, or even a splash of fish sauce.
You love pastry making as much as he loves cooking?
I do. I probably have ice cream for breakfast 4 out of 7 days of the week.
Really?
I do.
I did that, and I thought I was pretty weird. I mean, my dad worked in an ice cream factory, so, you know, advantages of getting ice cream for breakfast. But maybe let's talk with you a little bit about particularly, well, with both of you, about some recipes, not only for pastries, but for dishes for Thanksgiving.
Well, we have a pretty, I would say, maybe untraditional holiday. We don't do the same thing every year, but there is one thing that we make every year, which is, or I make specifically because I love to eat it so much. It's a cranberry babka. So that's on the table for breakfast every year, no matter what else we're having for dinner.
With the ice cream.
Maybe. I haven't done that yet. I should.
That's our son. Yeah.
Jasper is his name.
Jasper, that's
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm. One of our producers has a son named Jasper. So, again, we're talking with Nicole Krasinski and Stuart Brioza. They are co-owners and chefs of State Bird Provisions and The Progress, and authors of State Bird Provisions, a cookbook, with Jay Good. J.J. Good, talk a bit about the two restaurants. I mean, how do they... They kind of connect in many ways.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, our second restaurant is called The Progress, and it's the whole building. Both restaurants are housed in what was originally built in 1911 as the Progress Theater, and it was in existence for about 15 years. And then it was broken down into various mercantile. And now we've taken over the entire building, and we've expanded all the way through it. And the two restaurants are really extensions of themselves, is probably the best way to describe it. So, you know, we talk about State Birds, small plates, lots of different flavors that are sort of competing for your attention, where The Progress is more of like family style. Sit down, enjoy a few dishes and great wine and something that, you know, and conversation.
I think when you started, you said it was a little, it was more like skydiving than cooking.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Free fall for a while.
You know.
Let's get some callers on here. I want to go first to Damien up in Santa Rosa, who has something to say about the food you've brought up there. Go ahead, Damien.
Oh, thanks so much for taking my call, and I appreciate all the work that you guys have done. Unfortunately, I didn't get to try any of it, so I think I'll have to try and make a reservation, but thank you so much for helping us fire victims out up here. My commentary, though, is that I'm starting a small food truck up here soon, and we appreciate all the food that has been coming out here, but I was hoping you could comment on the difficulty of giving food out to other vegan homeless people the rest of the year and the laws that restrict that. I certainly think I'll probably have some leftovers to give back to the community in the future, and the laws surrounding that are much more difficult, not during a disaster time, and I was hoping for your thoughts on that, and thanks so much for everything.
Thanks for the question, Damien.
Well, I know locally that there's various organizations that will take food, leftovers and whatnot. I think that's city by city primarily. I think that in one of the great things about all the chefs coming together and producing food for up north was that these are food safe environments and, you know, food tested and we've all got, you know, the ability to produce food for the public in an inspected facility. So I would imagine that would play a major part in what you're looking to do.
You know where I got that figure, 3,000? I just realized. Mm. I'd read that you were doing 3,000 meals a day. That's where that figure stayed in my head. Yeah,
That is definitely about right. Yeah.
Neil wants to know, and you get this question a lot, the origin of the restaurant's name. We kind of touched on that, but
well, the idea of the restaurant really it started with a dish that the state bird with provisions. So it's the buttermilk fried quail.
That is the state bird, California state bird.
That
it's
is
quail. Yeah.
Nicole and I had kind of agreed that, you know, we could serve this dish and we could build a whole restaurant around this dish, and. And just jokingly, we were like, well, we'll call it the State Bird. And slowly, as we were getting closer to opening a restaurant, we really had no idea what we were going to call it. So the working name was State Bird with Provisions, or State Bird Provisions. And
I think Benjamin Franklin wanted the turkey to be our national bird.
Seriously.
Yeah. If you want to, you could have a state bird instead of a turkey for Thanksgiving, right?
That's right.
You could have a quail.
There you go.
A couple of them.
Yeah.
Covey a quail.
Yeah.
Any recipes come to mind, though, Stuart, in your book that would fit for Thanksgiving?
For Thanksgiving? Well, I think that, you know, the pancake recipes, there's a whole section on pancakes that would be a great like starter, you know, as you're kind of milling around and cooking. And it's nice to have, you know, I mean, I think the Thanksgiving snacks are some of the best part of cooking Thanksgiving. So, you know, just kind of whipping out these pancakes. And my particular favorite is the sourdough sauerkraut, pecorino ricotta.
And here is Lisa, who says, I'd like to give a shout-out to Guy Fieri, who I've fed many thousands at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. And here's another caller. Margaret, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, this is Margaret Burke. I'm calling to talk about your noise level.
All right.
I think it's one—I've been to the restaurants restaurant three times in the first 2 years that you were in business. And it was so noisy the last time with the music and the din of the conversation that we just decided we'd never go again. So why can't you turn down the music once the restaurant is full?
Margaret, you're not working for a rival restaurant, are you?
I am not. But there are lots of noisy restaurants. I did talk to management about the noise at the restaurant.
It's a big problem, and a lot of people complain about it whenever we have restaurateurs on here and say, how can you make the noise level go down? And what are you doing?
It's a conundrum, really. In many ways, you want to walk into a restaurant that's got full of activity and liveliness, and it's just got tons of energy. And part of getting that is smaller spaces that have music that's a little louder, because you want to hear the music too. We work hard on putting in soundproofing, and there is quite a bit of it. It's hard to control the enthusiasm, I have to say. People get very excited in our restaurants. And
no doubt you feel particularly over your cuisine.
That's right. Yeah. And we go with it.
There's a comment or a question from a listener, a tweet coming in saying, it's an interesting question, particularly in light of the fact we spent our first hour talking about the congressional hearings and the influence that some of these big giants like Facebook and Google have on our lives and on our politics. How do Yelp or other tech companies impact your restaurant, this listener wants to know?
That's a great question. Well, I would say in particular with Yelp is that it's really, it's a restaurants particularly have a love-hate relationship with Yelp, because it's sort of a forum, if you have, that allows people to just really talk about anything, and sometimes it can be a little random. Oftentimes, it can be very positive. It is a source that we all have gotten used to as kind of the new yellow pages, so to speak.
There's a lot of abuse, though. I mean, I've heard stories, and some of these are anecdotal. Sure. If you don't give me an extra bottle of wine, I'll write a terrible review. Yelp, give me a dessert made by Nicole, or I'll write a terrible review, that sort of thing.
Before we opened State Bird, Yelp wasn't really around, and we opened it, and I remember one night we looked at each other and we were like, this has really changed things in the restaurant world. Like, now we have to sort of look at that and take it seriously. And it's continued to, snowball and compound even more and more over the last 6 years.
Could you say something more, Nicole, about how you two met? I said in a photo lab, but maybe a little draw out the details a little bit.
Yeah, well, we actually we met, and before we started dating, we took a trip to New York with two other photography students, and Stuart, his mother worked for the airline, so he was able to get us really cheap tickets to fly to New York City, and he said, we're going, but the one thing is, besides museums, we have to go to this one restaurant that I really want to go to. Hmm. So we all...
You want to name that restaurant?
Yeah, absolutely. Gotham Bar and Grill. This is 1994, I believe, right?
Now, you guys got a star. New York restaurants have far more stars than San Francisco restaurants. I'm talking about Michelin stars. Why do you think that is?
Well, mainly because New York is so much larger than San Francisco, right? But I don't know. I think that San Francisco is hot on the trail for great Michelin-starred restaurants. I mean, this year particularly, I think we actually surpassed New York in Michelin three-star category, which is quite impressive.
It is indeed. And by the way, those who have either been impressed or, like Margaret, maybe unimpressed by the noise and who want to join us, this is an open invitation. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786. You can talk to the partners in State Bird Revision, Stuart Brioza and Nicole Krasinski. Here's Jean, who says, getting back to another note about people helping out up north, there were a lot of people helping out. We were doing 8,000 meals a day in South Napa. We were feeding National Guard and other first responders in addition to evacuees.
It's amazing work. I mean, I think that the San Francisco restaurant community was a very small part. And just feeling the need to feed our community was at the forefront of the actions and the activity. We couldn't stand and just not not help in some way. But I think so many folks throughout the entire Bay Area have just done an amazing job of rallying together and making sure that people didn't go hungry during this tragic time.
And again, we're talking to Nicole Kruzinski and Stuart Brioza. Nicole, let me go back to you. There was an article about male chefs gaining over female chefs. Any observations about that?
About male chefs gaining?
Recognition, particularly.
Oh, it's interesting. I've been in this industry since 2000, and you sort of see ebbs and flows in the conversation about female chefs. And we have consistently in our kitchens had probably more female chefs than male chefs just on the line and in management. And it's just, I think it's great for them to have a mentor such as myself around to show them, like, you can have a family, you can open a restaurant and sort of be successful and work really hard. And it's an industry I love to be a part of.
What do you love most about the industry?
The community. So just, you know, going back to what we just did with SF Ice Fire, the community is, and in, particularly in San Francisco, when Stuart and I were in Michigan and deciding to move somewhere else out of northern Michigan, we wrote out a list of things we were looking for, and community was the number one thing. And we saw San Francisco and the way that all of the chefs came together to go out late night after work or support each other when they had a baby or when a tragedy like this hit. So that's... it's pretty inspiring constantly.
And Stuart mentioned going to New York and the need to go to that particular restaurant that he named. I was looking in your book, and you talked about inspired in terms of your own work by trips to Chile and Peru.
Mm. Yeah, well, travel's been such a significant part of both of our lives. I grew up as the son of a flight attendant for TWA for years, so we traveled constantly, and that sense of adventure. And, you know, I think Chile and Peru came at a time, or South America really came at a time in our lives where it was transitional. We had just finished work at a great restaurant here in San Francisco called
Rubicon.
Rubicon.
Yeah. I have a story to, I'll tell you off air about Rubicon.
Oh, good. we were just really, it was a very mind-opening experience. And, you know, during that time, I think when we really were questioning what we wanted to do next in our careers, I think one of the common topics was just cooking with freedom and flexibility. We didn't know what that meant at the time.
Did you saw it in South America?
I think we were just open-minded in South America. Our minds were open. We had the travel goggles on, and everything just sort of had a very emotional and tactile feel to it. And, you know, the conversations were just very flowing. And so it played a significant, it was a long trip, and it was a significant kind of time and place.
Well, we'll keep this conversation flowing. We'll take another call, and we'll go to Walnut Creek, and Athena joins us. Athena, you're on the air.
Hi. I work in the restaurant industry, and I had a question for you guys. I find that in the industry in Bay Area, it gets really samey because a lot of people are expecting to see the same things on menus. And I was wondering how you get out of that rut and manage to get the Michelin star as well.
I think that, you know, setting some sort of criteria for the creative process plays a pretty significant role. So it's not just a total free-for-all of kind of cooking food. I think also recognizing where we're at and where we're cooking is very important. So, we are in the Bay Area and we've got this abundance that's at our fingertips, and you know, we should be taking advantage of that as often and as consistently as possible. As far as attaining the Michelin star, we're excited as always to retain it. I do remember when we first earned one, I was just as surprised as maybe anybody else, because it was just really not set up to be a restaurant that was a Michelin star. So I like to think that maybe...
surprised and maybe delighted too?
Most definitely. I mean, you know, being included is important.
Let me thank that caller and get another caller on. And Kevin, that's you. Good morning. Kevin, are you there? Okay, he's not there. Let me ask you something, Nicole, about a dessert called the peanut milk.
Yes.
Why is it so popular? What is it?
Well, it's delicious, and it's got a pretty low buy-in. So I think from my previous experience knowing Stewart's food is so amazing and delicious, and it's easy, especially at State Bird, to grab far more than you need to and get to the end and just not be able to handle dessert. So the peanut milk was sort of my, like, I'm just going to get a little bit in here. It's like a $3 shot of peanut milk, but it also is something that it makes, it sort of gives you warm, fuzzy feelings when you drink it. And it's across the board. Consistently, like, some people will line up 5 shots and before they start dinner.
And Stewart, let's talk about quail again, fried in buttermilk batter.
Yeah, buttermilk marinated quail, dredged in our secret blend of spices. That,
yeah,
of
that
course,
lemon and tomato in there too.
Lemon, onions that are kind of stewed with lemon and rosemary. Yeah, it's just, I consider it, it's sort of the quail. From the eating standpoint, is sort of the shoestring potato of the French fry world, where, you know, it's got a lot of texture on the outside and succulence on the inside, but it's a small bird.
And what do you do about tipping? Do you include tips in your bill or?
No, tipping is voluntary, just as it's kind of, you know, always been.
No suggestion.
It's a real complicated subject.
It is a complicated subject. We've done hours on it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
But you don't have this. This would be 15%. This would be 20%, or any of that. You just let the person decide.
No, we don't. There's no suggestions. You know, as far as that on the bottom of the bill. I mean, we really, you know, we. It like I said, it's a very complicated. Aspect of the business, but we just sort of, we go with it, and both restaurants are voluntary.
Well, thank you both for the work you've done in terms of helping people get meals up north. I think it's great, and congratulations on that. And let me put a plug in for the National Kidney Foundation luncheon. It's this Saturday. I'm the host, have been for 25 years. And you can attend by going to authorsluncheonsf.org. That's authorsluncheonsf.org, and meet Nicole Krasinski and Stewart Brioza and other authors. Their book, again, is State Bird Provisions, a cookbook. And thank you for being a part of this morning's program. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. Tomorrow in this hour, we're going to talk about some new breakthroughs in neuroscience, and particularly with respect to creativity. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I thank you for listening and being a part of the program. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.